Our scripture reading for today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. And this can be found on page 685 of your pew Bibles. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the teachings in your scripture. And although we deviate a little from the parables this morning, we have a message that certainly needs preached, and it needs preached to all of us, including myself, seemingly over and over again. So, Father, we pray for the Spirit to do His work in our lives, that we would be ready to receive, and that we would have open minds and open hearts. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. A story. I will never forget the Easter of 1946. I was 14, my little sister was 12, and my older sister was 16. We lived at home with her mother, and the four of us knew what it was like to do without things. My dad died when I was 5, leaving mom with 7 school kids to raise and no money. By 1946, my older sisters were married and my brothers had left. A month before Easter, the pastor of our church announced that a special Easter offering would be taken to help a poor family. He asked everyone to save and give sacrificially. When we got home, we talked about what we could do. We decided to buy 50 pounds of potatoes and live on them for a month. This would allow us to save $20 of our grocery bill for the offering. Then we thought that if we kept our electric lights turned out as much as possible and we do not listen to the radio, we can save even more money that month. That month was one of the best of our lives. Every day we counted the money to see how much we had saved. At night, we'd sit in the dark and talk about how that poor family at church was going to enjoy the money the church would give them. We had about 50 people in that church, so we figured that whatever amount of money we had to give, the offering would surely be 20 times that amount. After all, every Sunday, the pastor would remind the congregation to save for the sacrificial offering. We're going to pause there, and I'm going to share with you the theme of our sermon this morning, which is stewardship and giving. And before we get started, the old story is that the oldest trick to make the entire congregation mad at the pastor all at once is simply preach on giving. So hopefully that's not the case here, but it's important and it's biblical. So I want to share with you two things this morning. The first is this question: where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? All throughout the Bible, this theme of treasure, or where your heart is, what truly owns your heart, or what do you ultimately love, is found in the scripture. There are some really popular pieces of scripture. There are some obscure pieces of scripture. I would like to start with one slightly obscure, taking place back in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua, chapter 6. There in verses 16 and 17 and 18, we read these words: "This city shall be under a ban, but as for you, when you go through the city, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, lest you covet them, and you take some of the things under the ban, so that you would make camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble into it. We read those words, and then in the very next chapter, there is a battle, and the Israelites end up losing the battle. And they can't understand why they lost, because up until this point in the book of Joshua, they have been very successful. But what is discovered in the next chapter, in chapter 7, that there was a man named Achan in the camp. And Achan went through and he stole certain items, the very items that were under the ban, the things that God essentially said, do not take. And they were shiny things. They were things that were worth lots of money, things like garments and silver and gold. But because of this man's sin, Israel was defeated that day. They were defeated. What's the moral of the story? What's essentially going on here? What's happening is this man saw things, and this man coveted things, and he wanted these things, even though God said not to take them, even though he knew it would hurt the community of believers. He took them, and the entire camp suffered because of it. But what's really at the heart of the loss at the Battle of Ai? What's really at the heart? It's coveting. Achan's love was not God. Achan had a three-dimensional view of life, things he can see, touch, and feel. And that day, it was just revealed what was in his heart. The second one, probably you're a little more familiar with, is the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, we remember that. Jesus meets a young man who's very wealthy, and this young man has a question for Jesus. He asks a question that we are all asking today, which is, how do we inherit eternal life? Or how do I get to heaven? Surely you have friends that are asking those questions. But here's a man that approaches Jesus. How do I inherit eternal life? And if you recall, Jesus tells him to keep the commandments. And after that, which I promise you, we're actually going to be getting more in depth over the next few weeks, because that's also found in Luke. But for our purposes this morning, what I want us to focus on is that after the man thinks he kept all of the commandments, Jesus looks at him and says these words. He says, I want you to go home, and I want you to sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor. Now, this man was very rich, and so he had a choice to make. Did he really want heaven? But what Jesus was driving at was this. Not necessarily the fact that he was young. Not necessarily the fact that he was rich. Not the yacht at home. Not the TV. Not the house. But this. If I were to open up your chest right now and look in your heart, what's the most important thing in your life? Is it the riches? Is it the money? Is it the material things? Or is it God? And the Bible says that this rich young ruler actually went away sad. You can just imagine this happening. He thought he was in. He thought that because he was rich, because he was popular, he probably did not hear these kind of messages. He probably was surrounding himself with yes men. But on this day, what was revealed was what was in his heart. And the Bible says he went away sad. Now, those are two negative examples. I want to now flip the script and share with you a positive. And this can be found in Philippians chapter 3. This is none other than the great apostle Paul. Here in Philippians chapter 3, he goes through and he lists all of his worldly accomplishments. He says, look, I am of the true circumcision. I worship God in spirit and truth. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm found in the nation of Israel. I belong to the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's listing all of his credentials. And then he gets to the point and says, but more than that, I count all of those things to be rubbish. I count all of those things to be rubbish in the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. This is the exact opposite of what has taken place in the last two examples. In the case of Achan and Joshua, in the case of the rich young ruler, if you were to open up their chest cavity, you would see riches, you would see idols, you would see all kinds of things. But if you were to look and peer inside the Apostle Paul's heart, you would see that his heart beats for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, the question is, where is your treasure? Is it in earthly things? Because the Bible says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves do not break in. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, the problem that I think we have as Americans is this. If you're sitting in this room, you are rich. If you are sitting in this room today, you are rich. You see, we get so caught up in looking at everybody else around us. You know, you save up for the one television, then you go visit your friend and they have two. Or you finally have a nice car and then you go to someone else's house and now they have even a nicer, bigger car. And that's what we get used to as Americans. But we are all rich. If you are an American sitting in the United States of America, you are abundantly blessed compared to the rest of this world. It reminds me of a story I heard about little Timmy. You see, there was the offering going around in church. And as the plate approached, Timmy didn't want to put his money in the plate. Maybe you've experienced this in your own life. So his mother decided to have a little creative reasoning with Timmy. She said, you don't want to put that money in there, huh, honey? And she said, quick, drop it in, quick, in the plate because it's tainted. And horrified, the little boy just dropped it right in. Now, after a few seconds, he whispered, but Mommy, why was that money tainted? It wasn't dirty. And she says, oh dear, it's not really dirty. It taint yours and it taint mine. That's a true story. That's a true story. I think that happened here. But listen, we need to put our investment into something secure. We need to put our investment into something secure. And there's nothing more secure than God's kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, do not be anxious, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He doesn't say that you shouldn't seek anything else. He just says, look, when it comes to priorities, the first thing on your priority list, the thing at the very top, is God's kingdom. And that is a matter of organizing our life around what's truly important to us. And then Jesus gives some examples. He goes, look, there are these moths. We all know when a moth gets in our clothes, right? They start eating little holes in them. I remember when I was little, those little moth balls. Who's familiar with moth balls? Those things are weird, aren't they? They just smell weird, and you see little white things, and you're told not to eat them when you're little. I don't know. But a moth will get in and destroy the most expensive garments that you have. Also, Jesus brings up rust. You can have the nicest car in the world, and eventually, it will rust out on you. I remember I was so bent out of shape. Some of you remember, it's been almost 2 years, actually, to the day that I started here. I was driving that little Lego car, the people would call it, and I had visions of keeping that thing forever. I wanted to give that to Isabella, like you see in the commercial when she goes to college. I'm serious. And then it was making some weird noises, and I brought it to the mechanic, and I called the mechanic, and I said, George, what's the story on the car? And he said, the story on the car is, it's time to look for another car. What? I want to hear that. But it's true, and Jesus is telling us that these material possessions will all eventually fade away, they'll rust away. And then he thirdly brings up a thief. We need no explanation for that. A thief always wants what you have, and sometimes they're evil. Sometimes it's, you know, a rent-a-car or a chiropractor or the electric bill, but everyone wants to separate you from your money, right? It's their job. And so that's why Matthew 6:33 is so important. First, seek the kingdom of God. First on your priority list. That's why this is so important. So what do you deem as valuable? That's the question. Where is your treasure? Because it'll show in the way you live your life. So the second simple question that I have for you all is, who or what are you serving? Simple question, who or what are you serving? Jesus goes on to say that no one can serve two masters, because either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both mammon and God. And at the end of the day, when you boil it all down, you are really only serving one master. And I can't answer that for you. That's only a question you can answer for yourselves. But when you boil it down at its essence, where is your heart? What are you serving? Who is your king? Who do you love? What do you love? Paul goes on to teach in 1 Corinthians. He says, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it was. If anyone's work, which has been built on, will endure, they will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Paul is giving a picture of the end time, of what you have to offer the Lord. And what he gives, ready, is no options. Notice that? There's no options. In other words, every one of us will present something. Every one of us will come before the Lord with something. He says there's some with gold and silver, precious stones, others with wood, hay, and straw, and the fire will reveal it. Think about those things. Gold, silver, precious stones, those will show, they will pass. But wood, hay, and straw, you put them in a fire, they're gone. They're gone. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what are you going to offer the Lord? C.T. Studd says this, oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasures on to thee alone. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say it was worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now I want us to think about one of the great movies, Indiana Jones. You remember Indiana Jones when he's going for that Holy Grail? You remember that? And you remember the scene where the blonde German Elsa, how about that for the Frozen fans? It's like, were they inspired by that? I just thought of that right now. And do you remember when it cracks, the big crack in the ground, and she's hanging on, and all of a sudden she looks down and she can see the grail, and she now is holding on with one arm, and she's reaching for the grail, and Indy's going, Elsa, let it go. Elsa, let it go. And she goes, I can almost grab it. I can almost grab it. And then she falls. As she falls, Indy tries helping her, and then he's in the same position she is. And now he's holding on, but instead his dad is holding on to him. And he's going, I can almost grab it, Dad. I can almost grab it. And his dad looks at him and goes, son, let it go. Let it go. And so he ends up letting it go, and he pulls him up. If that is not a beautiful example of how some of us live our lives, I don't know what is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In the first scene, what was in her heart? Riches, glory, everything that was beautiful under the sun. But the other one had to let it go. And he pulled him up, and he lived. And so I think there are only two problems, not only, but these are two big problems that I think you and I face when it comes to giving. The first is that you and I have divided hearts and or we lack perspective. Let me say that again. It is that we have a divided heart and that we lack perspective. This is a story told by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says that there was a farmer once that one day reported to his wife with great joy that his best cow had given birth to two twin calves, one red and one white. He said, "You know, I have been led of the Lord to dedicate one of them to the Lord. We will raise them together. And when the time comes to sell them, we will keep the proceeds that come from one calf and then give the proceeds that come from the other to the Lord's work." He asked his wife which calf he was going to dedicate, but he said, "Let's just wait and see. We'll treat them both the same, and then we'll see exactly what happens." Well, several months later, the man enters the kitchen. He's very sad. He's very miserable. When his wife asks him about the trouble, he said, "I have bad news for you. The Lord's calf is dead." But then his wife wonders. She says, "You had not decided which one was the Lord's calf." And he said, "Oh, yes, I had always determined that it was to be the white one, and it is the white one that is dead." And you want to know something? It's always the Lord calf that dies, isn't it? When we go out and we dedicate ourselves to the Lord and we say we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to give this, we're going to give that, it's always His money, it's always the time that we put to the side to focus on ourselves. It's always the white calf that dies. It wasn't the red one. It was the white one. Now, why is that? Because you and I have divided hearts and we lack perspective. We make dedications with our mouths, and many times we never back it up because it's always the white calf that dies. The second problem I think we face is we do not have a grasp of our daily finances. And this is where John Burkett will get all excited. Everybody in this room wants to be generous. I believe that. But it's a lack of discipline on our money, or perhaps we just simply were never taught. Here's what Dave Ramsey says. "Saving money isn't a matter of math. It's a matter of priorities. We often tell ourselves, well, we'll start saving once we reach a certain milestone, like when we get a raise or when we pay off the car or when the kids move out." But then he says, "But without healthy money habits, you won't save money when you get at that salary bump, when you own your car or when the kids are grown. You'll only start saving money when you develop healthy money habits and your future needs to become more important than your current wants." And that's very true. I know those who are successful with money, they have a budget. They know where all the money's going, including the money they give the church, including the money for the bills, etc. It's about habits. And those of us in this room, we can. If there are people here that are struggling with that, I can promise you there's a guy in this room that will help you create a budget. And it will get your life in order and you will be blessed. Finally, we started off with a story, and I feel like we should end it. That Sunday, as we went to church, that sacrificial offering was taken. Now, we were sitting in the second row from the front. Mom put in a $10 bill, and each of us girls put in a $20 bill. Late that afternoon, the minister drove up. He drove up to our house in his car. Mom went out to the door, talked to him for a moment, and then came back in with an envelope in her hand. There were three $20 bills, one $10 bill, and 17 $1 bills. Now, we as a family didn't talk that day. We just sat and stared at each other. We kids had such a happy life that we felt sorry for anyone who didn't have our mom and dad for parents. We thought it was fun to share silverware, to see whose fork was going to end up in whose mouth. I knew we didn't have a lot of things that other people had, but I never knew we were the poor family in church. That Easter day, I found out that we were poor. The minister had brought us the money for the poor family, so apparently we were that family. We sat silent for a long time. Finally, the next week rolled around in church. We were embarrassed to go to church that Sunday. We didn't want to go. But that Sunday, there was a missionary that spoke. He talked about how churches in Africa were suffering. And the minister said, "Can't we all sacrifice to help this group, this missionary?" So we looked at each other and we smiled. Mom reached into her purse and pulled out that envelope. When the offering was counted, the minister announced that there was over $100 in that offering. He hadn't expected such a large offering from our small church, he said. And then the missionary got up and said, "There must be a very rich family in this church this morning." Amen. Friends, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. At the end of the day, I can stand up here and tell as many elaborate stories. I can share as much scripture as humanly possible. But at the end of the day, when you boil all of this down to one thing, to its essence, it's this. If we were to look inside of your heart this morning, what would be there? If we were to open up your chest cavity, would we see a heartbeat that beats for the Lord? Or would we see something else? And really, that's the best sermon on giving that I could ever give. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we sit in the silence of our own lives and we hear this challenging message. And I trust and I believe that you are working in every heart in this congregation to be more generous, to be the poor family in church that looks for ways to add to your glory. So teach us, Lord, as we journey together. Thank you for this opportunity. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as we conclude our service this morning, let us conclude by singing hymn number 597, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated."